The reading is from Luke 5, 12 to 16. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said. "Be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. Then Jesus ordered him, "Don't tell anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Yet the news about him spread all the more, so that crowds of people came to hear him and be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed.
Well, it's really a privilege to be here to share and speak with you. I don't often preach in English. It's just kind of amazing. to speak on such a special topic, and to my fellow missionaries right here in this room, really privileged to be here. As Joe said, my name's Audrey and my husband Gus is over there. We normally live in Taiwan, and you all have helped us to be able to have the privilege of living there and sharing the gospel. I normally work with women, reaching out to women in the red light district and marginalized women. And, you know, for the last 3 years, I was involved in starting a new ministry there. And so I think that's the reason why your pastors asked me to speak on sharing the gospel with the world. But first, I kind of want to rewind, because this is the final installment, I think, the last one, the fifth installment of a whole series on mission that our church has been going through together. And so, the basic idea is that everyone, all of us, Christian equals missionary. I think that's the main idea that's been coming across, right? And so all of us are in sent places. No matter where we are, we're always 100% our identity is Christian. And so, So Kathy kicked us off on speaking on mission in our prayer lives, which is the foundation and the way that God transforms us and opens doors. And then Travis spoke on being on mission in our sent places. And that's where he unpacked that keystone idea that everywhere we are is a sent place. And then Steve spoke about the how, like how we're called to make the gospel visible through our character and our life, which speaks with such power even when we don't have the opportunity to use words. And then, because words are important, Jody Kubo spoke last week on having spiritual conversations, how to be open and ready for the doors that God opens to share the hope that Jesus brings with words. So if you missed any of those, I really encourage you to go and check it out online. They're still all there, and I got to listen to them, and they've been really helpful for me, actually. So today, I'm going to shift a little bit. Oh, actually, let me just say that this series, that message of us all being like Christian equals missionary, that is a totally, totally essential and crucial message. Because as it turns out, there's this research project that was done by a global mission initiative called the Mission Gap. I don't know if any of you have heard of this, but you can look it up online, because it turns out around the world, one of the reasons why less than 1% of Christians in the world are engaged in mission, cross-cultural mission. And one of the reasons is that just generally, most people don't even realize that our identity as Christians means that we are sent ones. And so this has been really important for us to like really underscore that it's not just me and Gus or Christine that are missionaries. We all are. But today we do want to shift a little bit just to, I forgot. I think. All right. I think the next slide. All right, yes. So this was the main thing is that, like, you know, sent places are the places in your everyday life. So you can see the Lego people, they're wearing like a hoodie, whatever. I mean, it's just everybody is a missionary, right? So not somewhere out there is a sent place. But then today we'll shift to the next slide, to beyond your sent places and the world. So I'm talking about not just the place where we're, you know, places beyond where we normally find ourselves, beyond our normal stomping grounds and beyond what's immediately before us. But I also mean literally the nations of the world, because Jesus said to go and make disciples of all nations. And then the next slide, I also mean what I'll call outsiders, marginalized people. Because if you also look at the scripture, there's this call to reach out to people on the margins of society also. And when Jesus read the mission statement that he said, this is my mission, at the start of his mission, at the start of his ministry, he quoted from the prophet Isaiah saying, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me to preach good news to the poor. And if you understand the way that that word poor, what it meant in the Old Testament, which would have been Jesus's Bible, it's not just materially poor people, but also folks in difficult circumstances, which could be economic, but also being in a position of dishonor or shamed or being a social outsider. So being a follower of Jesus means being sent to all these people. Christian equals being a sent one to the world, to have eyes beyond our sent place, to have eyes beyond our own culture, and to have eyes to see those on society's margins. And I don't know about you, but maybe you might be feeling a little bit overwhelmed, because that's a lot of people, and that's a lot of need. If you're not, that's great, more power to you, but I have to say that I just want to say really up front that just because I'm a missionary living overseas, serving cross-culturally, and even serving the marginalized, it doesn't mean that I have it all figured out. And it also doesn't mean that I don't feel the challenge of this call. Because honestly, I do feel stretched by Jesus' call to the whole world to keep my eyes and my heart open beyond my sent places of Taiwan, Australia, and the U.S. And honestly, I feel a little overwhelmed sometimes too. And especially since COVID, this world is just super uber connected, isn't it? Like, there are so many things vying for our attention. And Google somehow managed to figure out just exactly, like, curate your, you know, the things that pop up on our screens to match our tastes and our desires. And it can be really hard work to filter out the distractions to focus on priorities. And also, at the same time, to make sure you're not just hanging out with your own tribe. So I think that's one of our great challenges of our time, to learn in the midst of all that noise how to engage meaningfully and missionally in the world beyond our own. Because it's like right here, but at the same time, it's kind of like, you know, not, I mean, it's there for the taking, but there's so much to sort through. So I think the Lord is compassionate for us if you're who feel overwhelmed. He made us, and he also understands our times. And I think that he has encouragement for us in this, especially as we look at the Lord's own ministry while he was on the earth. Because believe it or not, Jesus himself lived in the tension between his own call to his sent place, the place immediately before him, and the call to his call to the world beyond. Jesus kept mission to the world both a priority, even while also spending most of his time on his primary sent places. And I'm going to wager that probably most of you who are, you know, in this room with me, and maybe the folks online, most of you will probably not be called to go overseas somewhere and live there forever. And yeah, so I'm kind of focusing this. This is a really big topic. I really struggled with what to say today, but I just want to focus on the way that Jesus himself, you know, he did most of his ministry right in Israel. The furthest he ever went was when he was a baby to Egypt, when he was a refugee with his family. So I decided that we would focus on this one passage. It's not your typical, you know, scripture on mission. And just watch what he does in one of his first recorded instances of engaging beyond his sent place, which is just after, by the way, he calls his first disciples. But before we do that, let me just pray for us and let's just ask the Lord to speak to our hearts. Father, I'm just super aware that, you know, this message that I have today, Lord, we need to hear from you. And we need to hear how your Spirit is speaking to each one of us. What does it mean for us to be on mission to the world beyond our immediate world? And so I pray that your Holy Spirit would really speak to each heart, that the things that are from you would go in and the things that are not from you, that you would just allow that to fall away. And may your words speak with power, and we pray that you would be honored in all that we do and say. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so let's read the scripture together, the first bit there. So while he was in one of the cities, behold, there was a man covered with leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and begged him, saying, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." So have you ever thought about how do you think that Jesus and the leper ended up meeting? So this version that I've put up here is a little bit different than the one that that Lionel read. Because in a few versions, it talks about, it mentions like maybe the leper came up to Jesus. But actually, in both Chinese and English, like it's kind of ambiguous, actually. It just says that, you know, that they were both in the same city and the leper saw him. And I think you probably know that in Jesus's culture, the rules required lepers to stay away from the community and to cry out, "Unclean, unclean." You had to be in isolation. And, you know, what do you think that Jesus would have seen and felt at that moment? The text gives a hint of the gory details of a man that was covered in leprosy. So he's an advanced case. And this was a man who really ought to have been, you know, staying in isolation. But somehow, Jesus and the leper got close enough for the leper to see him. So was Jesus hanging around where the unclean people were? Was the leper breaking the rules to seek him? At any rate, Jesus was either putting himself where the clean people don't usually like to or, you know, don't usually hang out, or the leper was seriously interrupting, like seriously. Either way, this wasn't supposed to happen, and the leper knew it. And so he's like, you can almost hear the trembling in his voice, right? "Lord, if you are willing." And that reminded me of something that I heard here a few weeks ago. Because do you remember when Travis preached on Sent Places? And there was this baptism testimony that we listened to before his message. And there was a young man, I don't know his name, whoever it is, I was just so moved by his testimony. Because he was reflecting on, as he was getting baptized, the bumps and difficulties that he went through in his life and how God brought him through it all. And in the journey, he came to realize that nobody, he said, nobody is unworthy of being called a child of God. Do you remember that? Yeah. And I just thought, yes, brother. I think he really got what Jesus was on his, you know, what was priority to Jesus. And it just reminded me, just quickly, of this story of a woman that I know, whom I'm going to call Silver. And it was during my early days of serving in Taiwan. So I went to Taiwan about 12 years ago, and I was just learning how to speak Mandarin and all these kinds of things. But I would go with a coworker and visit her. So she was in her 70s, and she was still working in the sex industry. And she was abandoned by her parents when she was little. And then later on, she married a man who was really abusive. And my friend and coworker, we started making regular visits to her in this little rundown room that's right on the street of the one of the red light district streets. And as she started to share her burdens, we asked, "Hey, you know, can we pray for you?" And she said, "Oh, no, don't do that. It's not polite." And you know, it was just that she felt shameful. She didn't feel like it would be an appropriate place for God to come, because this was the room where she used to take her, she was taking her customers. So she felt really dirty, and that she felt that her place was dirty and unfit for a deity to come to. And she just had no idea that the God of the Christians would be any different from the God of the, any of the gods of, you know, the traditional religion. And over time, I saw how she and many other women from the sex industry felt too insignificant for the gods to care for them. And they felt awkward about bothering them with what they were sure the gods would see as little trifling things. I mean, it just felt like the gods wouldn't bother. So She felt unworthy to be prayed for. And incidentally, this was not in the boondocks somewhere. This was in modern cosmopolitan Taipei in a district that's only about 20 minutes bus ride from an area that's got some of the largest and genuinely vibrant, healthy churches in Taiwan. So in some ways, this is a lot like Sydney, really. But nobody is unworthy of being called a child of God. But there are people on the outside trapped by a narrative that God is unwilling to come to them. And the world reinforces that lie. That lie that, you know what, God's not willing to come to you. And so, yeah, you can almost hear the leper saying, Lord, if you are willing, and just not really quite being sure if God is willing. If you are willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus just simply says, if you could change the slide, I am willing. And he who had the power to heal a dying servant from a disease from a distance with a word alone walks even closer to this guy and he touches the man, horrible skin disease and all. And that touch came out of the shocking priority that Jesus gives to those seen as unclean before God, whether they're lepers or bleeding women or social outcasts or folks from unclean Gentile nations. It declared his priority to engage with those who aren't in the places where the clean, God-fearing people, so to speak, are usually found. And maybe I'm just stating the obvious, but it helps me a lot to remind myself of how much this is Jesus' priority so that I can stop and open my heart to the Spirit when the narrative of the world tells me to keep my head down and just don't, you know, stay out of the interruptions. Because you know what? Things are only considered distractions when they're not important. But obviously, this is really important to Jesus. But maybe I've only made things worse by highlighting Jesus' radical priorities. And it's just one more priority in your bag of, you know, life that threatens to overflow with priorities and you're not sure what else can be taken out. And believe me, like, that is so legit. Like, I totally hear you. And so, you know, I just want to talk about the first barrier here. This is the next slide. The fear of being overwhelmed. That can really dampen our will to engage with those outside our sent places. But I really love it that we get a snapshot of Jesus' main commitments in the two passages just before this incident, which I didn't have Lionel read. But let me just tell you, you know, in this, the two like little sections right before this, you can see that he's, you know, a traveling rabbi. He's in demand. The crowds are after him and saying, like, hey, stay in our city. Don't go beyond here. And he says to them, look, I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, for I was sent for this purpose. So he's really busy. And then the next thing he does is he calls his first three disciples. So it's Peter, James, and John. And so his main job is to be a traveling preacher and a rabbi, first year teacher. I mean, and it's Peter, James, and John. Those guys are a handful, aren't they? Like, they're impetuous and whatever. Can you imagine? Like, he has to be their roommates. I mean, it's pretty intense, right? All right, so Jesus is really clear in his mind that this is his main deal. In the passage that we read, it says that he spent a lot of time praying. And I can imagine that, yeah, he knows that he has to spend most of his time praying and doing the preaching rabbi deal. And this moment with the leper is like an incidental encounter. Like, you know, after the healing, Jesus doesn't continue journeying with this leper, but he's very clear at the same time that making time for this interruption is a really important part of his overall missions. And there were other times he did the interrupting. Sometimes he made the initiative to interrupt something. He had to go to Samaria to talk with a Samaritan woman. He got Zacchaeus to, like, come down from the tree and he invited himself over for dinner at his house. Again, giving priority to folks who are on the outside, you know, that stinking tax collector who's a crook. And at the same time, he's doing his main job. So maybe, your main mission field right now is your kids or the worlds you encounter as you care for your kids, just trying to make rent and pay the bills. Maybe you're a full-time carer for someone with really, really steep needs, and that's your main mission. There might not be a lot of margin in your life, and take heart. That is totally, totally legit. I just want to say that. Jesus himself lived in the tension between his call to his sent places and to the call to the world beyond. You know, I used to imagine Jesus experiencing life as if he has all of God the Father's plans, like, omnisciently mapped out in his brain, and, like, nothing ever surprised him, and he just cruised along on this, like, perfect life plan autopilot. But I actually don't think it was like that for him. Like, why did he have to pray so much? Yeah. I mean, he would have never had to trust his Father if it was like that. There are so many ways to engage with the world here in Sydney. And Jesus also, like I said, carried out most of his mission right in his home country. So I can't prescribe anything to tell, except to say, like, our job is to just keep an open heart to the Lord and to trust him that as we ask for the wisdom to knowing how to respond to his call to the world in our context here, that he will give that wisdom. Who are the outsiders that he's giving you eyes to see? You know, it might only be just these purely incidental moments of engagement. Maybe God wants you to put yourself regularly in certain places where you are in proximity to the people that you're seeing that are on the margins, and to pray and be ready for the one-off interactions. One of my mentors in Taiwan always gives herself a little bit more time to walk to work so that if a conversation starts up with a woman on the way, because the street workers, they're on that street, it gives her time to chat, and she'll still be on time for work. It's like 10 minutes more, you know? Or maybe you only have margin for a short moment in the week, like maybe reading the occasional prayer letter from, you know, one of PVC's mission partners while you fold the laundry. Or maybe to pray for a specific people group as you're mowing the lawn. Maybe you're hitting a change in season for you, and the Lord is saying that your engagement in mission will also change. I don't know what that might look like for you. But the point is that if you belong to Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit, and he has given you, like, an assurance that you can trust him to know your capacity as you keep your heart open. And as you step out, you might just find yourself being like Christ to someone in a moment as surprising as seeing a leper healed with a touch. So, I just talked about the fear of being overwhelmed. Let me talk about another barrier, which is a fear of fruitlessness. So, there are some really tough places in the world to work in. And, you know, a friend of mine was at a conference of missionaries working in Southeast Asia, and she describes how the delegates were playing an icebreaker game, and at one point you know, they ask you, okay, stand up if something, something, and you stand up. And one of the statements was, stand up if you have never seen anyone come to Christ. And her heart sank as she saw the person next to her stand up, because she knew that he had been working there for 10 to 15 years already. Not a single person come to Christ. So in those tough places, the thought of not seeing any visible results or noticeable, quote, fruit can erode our willingness to get involved in mission or to stay involved. So a lot of people, when they respond to mission, the call to mission, they think of this scripture, they encounter the scripture, which is from Isaiah 6. Here I am, Lord, send me. But how many people focus on the next verse, if you could put that on? And he said, yes, go and say to this people, listen carefully, but do not understand. Watch closely, but learn nothing. Sometimes God calls us to engage with those who are unresponsive. That's just totally legit. He's got the prerogative to call us to go there. And maybe some of the places you've been laboring are like that. And being faithful to do our bit to go into that place is all that God asks of you. And so, if that's you, know that he takes pleasure in your faith to obey and step out. It might have seemed small to you, but your faithfulness to step out and trust Him is of greater worth than gold to the Lord. And that's the currency that He measures by, not by the size of the crop. We work the field and the Lord causes the growth. And you know what? Faith in Him is not in vain. Jesus truly does have the power to bring those who seem beyond hope into the Father's house. The leper was made clean. And especially if you track long enough with one person or with a group of people, you usually do get to see something of the Lord's work. So let's look at what happens next in the leper's story. Next slide. And he reached out with his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately the leprosy left him. And he, Jesus, ordered him to tell no one, saying, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing, just as Moses commanded as a testimony to them. There's this wonderful reversal that Jesus sends the now ex-leper back to the religious people who were the gatekeepers. They were the gatekeepers of, you know, who was considered clean and unclean. And Jesus not only publicly restores him to community, but he also makes him a testimony to these very people that he was previously unqualified to belong to. And so, the next slide, Jesus makes the outsiders into sent ones. My colleagues and I have certainly seen this amongst the ladies over the last 12 years. Come, let me take you to a place like no other, says one friend to another, some who previously didn't dare to step into a place with a cross on the wall. And slowly, mostly by word of mouth, the little apartment tucked up on the second floor of a dingy gambling den on Xichang Street, where the women next to Longshan Temple waited for their male customers, grew into a family that outgrew its walls. And you know, do you remember Silver, who felt unworthy to be prayed for? We kept visiting, and later that year, a few weeks before Christmas, my colleague and I, Xinyi, we came with a children's picture book. And Silver can't read, and so we just told her the story, it was a Christmas story. And, you know, showing her the pictures, and there's the stable and whatever, and my friend Xinyi says, see, they were a poor family. The stable was probably smelly and cold, and Jesus said he came to be with poor people. And that caught Silver's attention. And she said, oh, Jesus came for suffering people like me. And then she kind of stopped for a moment. And then she said, but then why is life so hard? And we suggested again that she try to ask God to provide. And this time, Silver did not refuse. You have to teach me what to say, she said. Okay, start with, Dear Heavenly Father. And then you just tell Him what's on your heart. And you know what? She just claps her hands. She said, Papa, in Taiwanese, Papa, God. Spontaneous. We didn't teach her to say that. It was just a spontaneous, childlike joy. And, you know, it was just flying in the face of that lie that said that God was unwilling to enter her world. And she prayed a short but heartfelt prayer for help, daring to believe in that moment that the Creator God that the Christians were speaking of might really be a loving Father to her. Nobody is unworthy of being called a child of God. So where are you in this story? You know, not many of you will be able to go to another country as full-time missionaries. Not many can be full-time in this country like Christine. But if you're a follower of Jesus, you are part of the story that God is writing for a world that He is seeking to restore to Himself. So how is the Holy Spirit speaking to you? Not just now, but, you know, tomorrow and from day to day. Is there a people group that He might be nudging you to learn a little bit more about? Maybe on Thursday you might go and check out, she didn't tell me to say this, but you know, maybe you could go and see what Christine's doing on Thursday. Maybe he's saying, you know, stop and chat to your neighbor who just moved to Australia while you're out weeding the garden. Maybe it's just to make a little bit more space in your heart to open up to the Lord when you're out and about. Maybe it's Do you know there's this thing called PrayerCast? It's an internet. There's these prayer videos, and you can pray through all these different countries. Maybe it's while you're doing folding the laundry, you watch one of those videos and you pray. I don't know what it's going to be for you. So I just want to take a moment for us to just be still and listen, and then I'm going to pray. Papa God, thank you that there is nobody unworthy of being called your child. Thank you, Jesus, that you give us the gift of your Holy Spirit. And I just pray that whether it's now or later on, that you would keep our hearts open. Renew our identity as sent ones to the world. Reassure us when we're overwhelmed that you can be trusted. Trusted when we are feeling overwhelmed. Lord, we pray that you would encourage those who are working in resistant places. And Lord, we just pray that each one would be encouraged with an open heart to hear the part that each one of us, the part that we have to play in the story of making outsiders into sent ones. So thank you, Lord, for this church. Thank you so much for their witness. Thank you for your life in each one here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.